So, we're currently in a study of 1 Timothy, which is part of 3 books of the New Testament that are referred to as the pastoral epistles, because Paul sent them to pastors to explain to them how to do church and how to be a good pastor. Written between 63 and 66 AD, Timothy was the son of a Greek father, probably not a Christian, and a Jewish mother who was a very devout Christian, and he was a close associate of Paul, who accompanied him on many of his journeys. He had been left in Ephesus to straighten the place out and to pastor these people and get them on the right track.
You're going to read the scripture now, right?
Yes. Okay. Today we're looking at chapter 2. It says, "First of all, then, I urge petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Also, the women are to dress themselves in modest clothing with decency and good sense, not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, or expensive apparel, but with good works, as is proper for women who affirm that they worship God. A woman should learn in silence, with full submission. I do not allow a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Instead, she is to be silent. For Adam was first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and transgressed. But she will be saved through childbearing, if she continues in faith, love, and holiness with good judgment." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help me to explain it and without getting into trouble. Guide us in our study of it. In Jesus' name, amen. And yes, there will come a point in this sermon in which I can get big time trouble. But hopefully you will agree with my assessment of everything.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
Yes. And hopefully, if you don't, then John will help me to defend myself as the man who is here. So he starts out with instructions on prayer. And he says to pray for everyone. And then he lists out a whole bunch of different people we should pray for. And one of the things that we need to understand is that sometimes we pray for people that many people might think we shouldn't pray for. But we need to pray for them because we will pray that they will go in the right direction. Be sure to include thanksgiving. That was what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about prayer. First, we praise God. Then we confess the sins that we want him to forgive us for. And then we thank him in anticipating that he will forgive us for this and for the things that he has given to us. And then we ask him for the things that we need or possibly just that we want. And then we sit back and we wait and see what he says. Many people say, well, God hasn't answered me. No, he may have answered you no. He may have said, no, I don't want that. Or I don't want that now. He may say, wait. Now, he says to pray for good governance, as this provides the best environment for us to live in. When at one point somebody in Africa made a threat that when President Clinton was going to go, that he was going to attack and kill him. And I made a statement in church. We need to pray that the Secret Service will be really good at this and that he'll be, and all this. And somebody later asked me, well, now, wait a minute, Walter, you don't like Clinton at all. You disagree with him completely. I said, yes, but I'm not having anybody threaten the President of the United States. When I prayed for Clinton, when I prayed even for Obama, who I consider to be a criminal, and as I'm praying now for Biden, who there's no doubt is a criminal, I pray that they will turn from their wicked ways, seek God's face, and pray for forgiveness and turn and go in the right direction. Mm-hmm. If I know somebody is not a Christian and that he's acting in the way he acts because he is driven by the world and not the Lord, I pray for him to come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. At one point, I had a situation when I was in the Air Force in the Philippines. And I became very upset, and Pat always kept telling me, you need to pray that this guy will come to Jesus. I said, I don't want him to come to Jesus. If he comes to Jesus, he'll go to heaven, and he'll spoil eternity for me. Well, a pastor that we had when I got back to the States said, no, you don't get this. If he comes to Christ,
he's a new creation.
He won't be him anymore. He'll be a new creation. And I go, well, it couldn't get any worse. And so I began to pray that this guy would come to Jesus. I have no idea if he ever did. Yeah. I began to pray that my in-laws would come to Jesus because they had treated me really badly. And all of a sudden, they did treat me quite as badly as they had before. We believe my mother-in-law has come to Jesus. We're not sure about my father-in-law. But at any rate, you have people that you think, I'm not going to pray for them. I don't like them. Well, you pray that they won't be them anymore, that they will turn to Jesus and become the people they should be. It pleases God, who wants everyone to come to Him.
Yes.
Now, people sit here and they talk about what they call predestination. There are people who are going to be saved and people who are not going to be saved. Well, Paul says God wants everybody to be saved. God does not pick and choose. Or if you think he does, he picks everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. He knows who's going to do it and who's not. But he still calls us to go tell them. Because how can he sit there at the judgment and say, you know, Walter came up and he told you about this, and you turned him down. If nobody had told this guy, he could say, well, I didn't know. Now, we also know from the book of Romans that he has the world around him to look at and to say, as Mel Brooks once said, there's something bigger than Phil. You know, this didn't just happen. Somebody had to make this. That is a famous doctrine that came actually from the very beginning of the 1800s, where somebody said, if you find a watch on the ground, you don't say to yourself, oh, what a wonderful naturally occurring phenomenon. Oh, wow. You say to yourself, somewhere there's a watchmaker. This is now referred to as the doctrine of irreducible complexity. Mm-hmm. We have critters, little microorganisms that could not have evolved because they would have died before they could evolve. There are things that they have that they had to start with. Well, how'd they get them? God gave them to him. See? So, we know that God gives us the evidence of his presence. There's only one God, and there's only one way to get to him. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Mm-hmm. We know Jesus doesn't lie, and he said there's no other way. Okay? And as I have often said to people who love to argue with me because they don't want to be a Christian, sorry, it's in the book. I can't argue with it. It's written there. Okay? That way is Jesus, who literally made the way by hand himself. This is not only for Jews, because God commissioned Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles. And as we look in the Old Testament, particularly there are a number of places in Psalms where God said, you're supposed to be a priestly nation. You're supposed to be telling other nations about me. Now, he didn't come right out and say, what is all this crap about fuel for the fires of hell? But he told them, you need to bring those people in. You need to prove to them that all of these pagan gods and goddesses are complete bogosity, and bring them in. And so, once he had come and created salvation, he commissioned Paul, who was very, very devout in upholding the Jewish traditions, and he said, here's some new traditions, Paul. Go out and tell these to the Gentiles and bring them in. And then we get to the part where I can get into trouble. Instructions for men and women. This somewhat stems from culture. There are nuances in the way the Greek is written that indicate Paul is giving opinions. Men should lead. Now, God made this very clear throughout the Old Testament. The basic unit is the family, and the head of the family is always the father. Now, what happens if the father is not a part of this? Either he left, he was killed, whatever. Then God gives a very special grace to the woman who is a single mother and who works very hard at trying to draw her children to God.
Example, the grandmother of Timothy.
That's right.
Grandmother's mother.
And his mother.
Who taught him.
Right. Vicky gets special credit because she's got kids that are not necessarily going in the way that God wants them to go. But she never stops trying to drag them back. Okay?
Kicking and screaming.
Kicking and screaming.
Like
that's it.
By the ear either, you know? But it's up to them.
Yes.
It's a motherly thing.
Now, some of you may or may not be familiar with Nancy, who we had here before. Her son was pretty much a hard case. But she kept trying to drag him back. Now, we're still having problems with Nancy. She keeps wanting to fall off the wagon and all these things. But you know what? Kevin Marks got his stuff together. And she is so proud of him. That's the one way that you get her to head back in the right direction, is to tell her, you know, Kevin is really doing a good job. Yeah, and he's going to church, and he's got a girlfriend who's a woman of God. And yeah. Now get your stuff together, Nancy. But the point is, she still gets extra points because she didn't have a husband, or she had a bad one, and she's working at leading this young man, and she got him back in a good place. I believe single mothers get extra points. That's my belief. That's, you know, As Paul says, not God says, but I say. That's my belief. It says men should lead because that's what the Bible says, that men were created first, and then women were created from men, which makes them equal. Mm-hmm. But somebody has to be in charge. Somebody has to be the leader, and God chose the man to do it, and gives extra point to the woman who has to do it. Okay? They should have holy hands, which refers to the Jewish rituals. The Jews would sit here and they would pray, and they would be like this, and they would go up, but they would always have their hands up. They would be raising holy hands. Now, the Jewish ritual for having holy hands had to do with ritually washing. Literally, you had a thing that you used from where the water was that you're going to wash your hands. And it had to have two handles on it. And what you do is the handles would be like if there was another handle over here. Okay? You pick it up like this, with the one handle sticking up, and you pour it over your hands. Okay? Then you would put it back into the water, and you would grab the other handle and do the other hand. Actually, I think I got it backwards. You grab this, and there'd be one there, and you would grab the one, and then you would take and dip this to get the water. When you dip it in to get the water to pour on there, then this went in the water. Now it's clean. So now you can pick it up and go and do the other hand. Okay? So, but once again, this was ritualistic to them. We believe we have holy hands because we've given ourselves to Jesus. Our whole body has become holy to Him. Should be free from anger and arguing. Okay? I joke about, oh Lord, you know, help my, you know, Sounders beat the evil Portland Timbers. Right? As a joke, okay? I'm kidding. I don't take anger out on them and so on in my prayers. But I do pray that the Lord will give the Sounders and the Seahawks and the Mariners and all success, that they will do their very best. But we should be free from anger. One thing, if we have anger, we should be praying for ourselves not to have anger. Mm-hmm. I had a situation where I was a member of a Christian motorcycle group, and a particular individual came in after we had formed it as we were growing, and he wanted to take over. Now, he wouldn't say that because Christians don't talk like that, but he wanted to take over. And so he would criticize me, and eventually he got me tossed out, the very group I had founded in Washington. He got me thrown out of it.
Oh, now, terrible.
I was very angry about this. And my initial thought was to pray, Lord, hit him with lightning. You know? Now, he immediately got hurt in an accident where he was working. And my thought was, you know, my first thought was, okay, God got him. But then Lord was, you know, working on me. And some of the other people said, oh, I bet you think that he got that because, you know, and you're mad at him. I said, no, I don't. I'm praying for him to be healed, and I'm praying for him to turn from his wicked ways and begin to actually serve. See, he wanted to go and minister to hardcore bikers, but he was afraid of them. I'm not. What are they going to do? Kill me? Good. I get to go be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a big deal. But he was terrified of them. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so, at any rate, once I was thrown out, a lot of these hardcore bikers that I'd made friends with at work were saying, you want us to go rough him up? No, do not. And it was like the Lord was saying, Walter, what are you going to say now, boy? You have to actually say, don't do this. And so I did. When the lady destroyed my wonderful big black motorcycle, I actually had, when they saw me on my new motorcycle, they said, what happened? And you want us to kill her? No, do not kill her. You know. But the Lord was showing me that is the world. We need to be praying with no anger, no arguing. We need to be praying the best for everybody around us. Women should be beautiful because of spirituality. This is hard sometimes, I guess, to explain to some people, particularly those who are not spiritual. But a man who sees a righteous woman just knows. Okay? And to him, she will be more beautiful. I've had people that I have known who would tell me, oh, I'm not that good looking or anything. Of course, and there are some people like Liz Like who lived such a rough life that you would say that physically she's probably not. But Liz has now become so filled with Jesus. Every time I see her and she's got her big Liz smile and everything, and I think, oh my, what a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
The beauty should be their spirituality. The beauty should come from their love of Jesus. They should not be a slave to fashion. Particularly fashion that is not necessarily modest. You know, we have women who are actresses who will claim to be Christians, and the next thing you know, they're doing nude scenes. We have to do that or you're not going to get jobs. Okay, don't get jobs. Okay? We have Christians of both genders who are in the movies and who make it very clear what they believe. They'll let them, you know, they're conservatives, they're Christians, this is what I believe, and here I stand. Well, you won't get a job. Okay. And the next thing you know, somebody is casting a movie and they're going, that guy's too perfect. I have to have him. Mm-hmm. Right? Because God is saying, you best put this guy in your movie if you want to be successful. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not having this blackballing people. Mm-hmm. Now, the Greek does not indicate absolute silence. And I have not written down because I would have liked all this explanation, but the exact word, the word that they translate that women should be silent, it means that they should be reserved.
Right.
Okay? They should be asking questions to their husbands or their fathers or their brothers or whatever very quietly. Okay? If they don't understand, they would turn to the men, and if the men can't answer them, then it's his duty to stand up and say, okay, pastor, what's up? Now, today, we don't have this cultural tradition. So when anybody here asks me a question, you know me. I love answering questions about the Bible. So, but the Greek says women shouldn't be causing a disturbance, is basically what they're saying. They shouldn't be jumping up and arguing.
But what if they're smarter than the men at the time?
Or
unfortunately, that happens very often. I mean,
or they're by themselves and have to defend themselves.
Yeah. It's a very different cultural situation.
There's been a lot of male rulers and politicians and whatever over the century. I mean, ever since time began, the women were 99.9% smarter than them in a lot of cases.
Yep.
You know? I mean,
well, but they just, because of the cultural nuances, if the women had got up and started arguing, it would have been a big riot.
Right.
Because the men wouldn't put up with it. So he's just saying, let's have order here.
Order than anything.
It does not mean absolute silence. It means not to create controversy.
Yeah.
It indicates sincere questions are allowed. And once again, mostly they would say, okay, you should wait until after service and go talk to the pastor or rabbi, whatever you had, and ask him. And if it's sincere, if you sincerely have a question, he'll understand that and he will explain it to you. Now, once again, another cultural nuance, men were trained in the scriptures through the age of 15, at least through the age of 15, and some of them longer than that. Women did not study the scriptures at all. That was a cultural thing.
And some of them were not even taught to read.
That's right. So this is why that we have people like Sherry who have sincere questions, because she's just not familiar with these things. And so she sincerely asks me, what about? And I explain it, because I want you all to understand this stuff. Last verses here, I believe, are cultural. The fact that Eve bit the apple first does not in any way absolve Adam.
That's right, he was right there next to me.
Okay, and I was actually involved in a discussion, and let me tell you, the teacher did not want to talk about this. What would have happened if Eve bit the apple, gave it to Adam, and Adam said, we can't eat this? Now what are you going to do? Adam hasn't sinned, but Eve has. Okay? Now the final thing that they came up with, which is very speculative, because Adam bit the apple. I mean, you know, it's realistic. It's just... But they said, well, if Adam hadn't bit the apple, we would have had to get rid of Eve, and he's going to need plenty of ribs because we're going to be at this again. But, you know, the Jews actually believed there was a part of Genesis that was removed. And there was somebody named Lilith who was working for the devil. And so God had to send an angel to wipe her out. Then he gets Eve. And of course they have their thing about that's why he was so upset. Well, now wait a minute. The lion has his mate. Why? And you took mine. Right? But we have no indication that actually happened. But he did say no mate was found for Adam. And God said, well, that's not right. Come on, go fall asleep, bud. You know, I'll fix this. Both of them, both sexes, are reconciled to God by obedience. In the end, men and women have assigned roles. This is what God told women they should do. This is what God told men they should do. And as we've gone through, this has kind of been modified. Sorry, I can't have kids. Just don't work that way, no matter what AOC wants to say. Pat can have kids, but she can't do it by herself. Okay? It's just the way it works. We have assigned roles. Men are predominantly protectors. Women are predominantly nurturers. Does that mean they can't do everything? No. Does it mean they can't know things? No. They, you know, we have women scientists that are the most brilliant, like you're saying. But also, they're by nature a nurturer. Many of these women scientists have come upon their discoveries they've had because they're trying to nurture people. Oh, this is a problem. I have to find a fix for this. Okay? Men look at it and say, I have to find an answer to this because if I don't, I'll look stupid. And I have to be, you know, dominant. And, okay? But, you know, and then there's, you know, it's like when I was growing up and my little kids. And we had a situation where a certain group came to the junior high school that both my brother and my sister were in. And they were doing things that weren't nice. And my kid brother, who is larger than I am, knocked one of them out colder than a wedge. Just wham, overhand, right, bam. And so he was in trouble. And so my mom, being my mom, came in and said, okay, yeah, you can expel, you can do all these things. Oh, by the way, I want to file charges against him with the police. Get him in here. Now, wait a minute, what are you talking about? He was harassing, sexually harassing my daughter. Her brother defended her. And so, if he's at fault for defending her, then I want him charged with sexual battery. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, everything got well. Because they didn't want to start playing that.
Yeah.
But that was just the way Phil was. You're not freaking doing this. I'm the defender. And if you think you're going to do this to my sister, you're going to fight me. And win, lose, or draw, you're going to know you've been in a fight. That's the way men are. But like we said, both men and women are reconciled to God by obedience. They've been given their roles, and God says, go do what I've set before you. And if you do, then you're reconciled to God by that and by giving your life to Jesus Christ. So what does this mean to us? Well, we need to pray for everyone about everything. Whatever there is out there that needs prayer, we need to be praying for it. And no matter what it is, we need to be praying about it because we either need to be praying that, oh Lord, this is a good thing, please help it to continue. Oh Lord, this is a bad thing, get it stopped. Whichever way. There are probably people, I have no idea why, who are out there saying, oh Lord, bless Jay Inslee. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there praying, turn Jay Inslee to an honest man. And God's going, do you really think even I can do that? But at any rate, pray for everyone about everything. Because there's something that God wants you to pray about in every situation. We do not pray for wicked government to succeed, but to turn to God and follow Him. We know that right now, the federal government is working as hard as they can to try to get abortion going and have it paid for by the government and all these kind of things. We pray against that. We pray that they will turn back. We pray that when they say that Biden is a devout Catholic, that he will be. And he will turn from this. And that's what God wants. If I say, I want you to do God's will, nobody can argue with that. We should worship only God in the way He indicates. God is the only God there is. There is no other God. when I did a religious philosophy course in my bachelor's degree, that was just one of the most mind-blowing concepts that I ever heard. As you go through the Old Testament, you will see that the attitude towards other gods, small g, begins to evolve. First, my God's bigger than your God. Then it becomes, my God can whip your God. Then it becomes, your God's not a God. And that really blew the other nations' minds. You can't tell me my God's not a God. But as you read through, particularly in the books of Kings, which I'm reading through right now, you see that the other kings were trying to reconcile what was going on by saying, oh, their God is the God of the mountains. No, he's the God of the plains or whatever. And it's like, no, dummy, our God is God. Your God is BS. Okay? So we worship God and God only. And we worship him the way he says we should worship him. In the fourth chapter of John, it says we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't have a place to go. You can be walking around and worshiping God. You should be walking around and praying. Paul says, pray without ceasing. We should accept the roles God assigned to us. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes we don't want to be what God assigned us to be. But if that's what God says, we should do it. We should not let society tell us what to do, particularly today's society, who will tell you exactly the wrong thing most times. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these instructions that Paul has given to Timothy that are very clear and that lead us to understand exactly how we are supposed to do what you want done. Lord, we just ask you to give us the ability to see what you want and then go do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
See you.